Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. This class is dedicated to Lui Nishmaso and the Zecher Nishmaso, Tzvi Gershon Ben Yoel V'chana, Lav HaShalom. Please, Neshama, have an aliyah in the merit of this Torah learning. With Alyssa's permission, it should also be his chus refuah for Bracha Avigail, Basracha Gittel, Besoch Sha'archale Yisrael. We will recite the Tefillah Al Hadibur, and then we will begin our learning. Ribono Sha'ola, Mihiratzim Mefanecha, Rachim Vechanin, Shatizekeni Haim Vecholiam, Lishmar Pi, Lishanim Yilashin Haru Rechilis, Ezar Meledaber, Afila Alish Yachi, Vekol Shekena Kaiso, O Achelik Mehem, Vekol Shekena Lisraim Amidosav Shakalish Baruch, Vezar Meledaber, Divre Shaker Chanufa, Machlokes Kaas, Gaiva Onas, Tvarim Habanas Panim, Eitzanus Vechol Dibur Asr, Vezakeni Shlo the Daber, Kim Davar Hatzarich, Yanani. Goofy Vinafshi. You come as I would be the shame shamayim amen va amen. So good morning everybody. Welcome back to our every other week Shmiras HaLashon class learning. We are still, you might smile, but okay, it's taking us time, Baruch Hashem, because we're doing it in depth. We are still going through Maseches Arachid, Tes Vav, Amud Beis, where the Gemara deals in depth with topics and halachos and mitzvos and hashkafa concerning the sin of slanderous speech, Lashon Hara. We have been going through these the staff of Gemara, really, if you will. Did we begin in Tes Vav Amud Aleph? I'm just walking back to see something. No, we began in Tes Vav Amud Beis. Okay, so we are still continuing on this on the staff of Gemara, if you will, and we are going Amud, and we are going to continue. So I made a note where we left last time. So I'm going to continue with insights. We've been doing the insights on the bottom and bringing in other insights. Okay, here we go. Mata kanaso shalo yavo lidei lashon hara. Again, I'm in Maseches Arachin Tesvav Amud Beis. Mata kanaso. What is the takana? Shalo yavo lidei lashon hara. What is a person's remedy, a takana, fix, if you will, that he should not avoid, that he should avoid? Shalo yavo lidei lashon hara. What should a person do so that he shall not come to engage in lashon hara? Im talmid chacham hu yasuk b'torah. If he is a talmid chacham, then he should involve himself in Torah learning. V'im am ha'aretz hu. And if he is an am ha'aretz, which translates as an ignoramus, an uneducated person, yashpil dato, he should humble his mind, he should make himself humble. So if he's able to engage in Torah learning, he should then engage in Torah learning. And if not, then he should humble his attitude. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, v'selef ba shever beruach. The diminishment of Lashon Hara can be achieved through brokenness of spirit. V'selef ba, the diminishment of the sin of Lashon Hara, shever beruach. If one breaks, shever is from the, is the root, not from. Shever is the root word of shvarim. Everything, when I teach, my shirim always are seen through the lens of inyani dioma. And so here, when I read this pasuk, as quoted by the Gemara, it's a pasuk from Mishlei. The pasuk is Marpe Lashon Eitz Chaim. The healing for the tongue is the tree of life. So grab Torah if you're a Talmud Chacham. The Selef Ba Shever Beruach. And the diminishment of Lashon Hara is the brokenness of spirits. Pasuk from Mishlei Tasvav Dala. Shever is the root word. Shin Beis Reish is the root word of Shvarim. And that's one of the messages in the Tkiyah Shofar, that we come before the Ribono Shel Olam broken, and we understand that brokenness. The Shvarim is a broken sound, excuse me, and we come before the Ribono Shel Olam broken as we are. So, the Art School footnote says, okay, this dispute concerns only someone who speaks Lashon Hara regularly and is still inclined to do so. Okay, so if someone speaks Lashon Hara regularly and he's still inclined to do so, the Gemara has told us previously, as we quoted last time, he will be cut off. So does that mean for the Kare? So if I speak Lashon Hara, Ya'achris Hashem Kosev Sechalakos, Hashem will cut off anyone of smooth tongue. So Chas V'Shalom, does that mean that one time you speak Lashon Hara and you face, God forbid, the sin of Kare? This only concerns someone who speaks Lashon Hara regularly. He is like a Baal Lashon Hara and he's still inclined to do so. He doesn't come before God with the Shvarim, with the broken spirit. However, for one who is not a regular speaker of Lashon Hara, everyone agrees certainly that a remedy exists for his infirmity as long as he is willing to change, if he is willing to watch himself from now on. Shem Mishmua states, even when there is no remedy, one can always start over anew. And it's so funny, as when I was preparing and reviewing these sources, I thought that once again, this is such a message for Elul. Even if one sees no repair, the Shem Mishmua writes, you can always start over anew. One may not be able to repair all the fissures in an old fractured vessel. So if a vase breaks into 1,000 pieces, it's very possible that you cannot crazy glue or gorilla glue them together, but you can always create a new vessel. And that's really the capacity of teshuva. It's interesting that in the word shever and in the word teshuva, you have, if you want to even talk about diminishing the word shever into a smaller root, you have the word teshuva, shav, shin, beis is the root of lashuv, teshuvah, lashev. It's all denoting the process of returning unto God. So if you want to even minimize the word shever, which means brokenness, down further, something I never realized, you could say that the root of shin, beis, resh, the root of the root is shav. And the root of shav is the process of teshuvah. So we are understanding here, the footnote teaches that even if one feels he is broken beyond repair, he can remake himself into a new being. And this is very important when it comes to the sin, to any sin. It's also very important when it comes to sins of Shmiras HaLashon, because sometimes we're so used to speaking a certain way. A couple of weeks ago, we spoke about the sin of Nivol Peh, crass or inappropriate speech and the punishment that awaits one in Gehenim. And sometimes our speech takes on a certain pattern and we are so used to speaking in a certain way that we wonder if there's any hope, if we can ever rectify or repair. And even if we feel that our current selves are past repair, we can always remake ourselves. And where do we see that? In a very famous piece of the Rambam that I'm going to show you that I teach very often in this time period of Ella. So I need to know if you could see my screen, please. Alyssa is saying yes. So this is a very famous piece. For those of you who learn with me in Parsha class, we already learned this Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. It was included in our Ma'ariv Makomos of Parsha approaching Elul. And once Elul comes, it's something that I feel is very important to focus on. And it ties into so many shirim. So we are in the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Teshuvah, Parak Beis. Okay? So we are going to Halacha Dalet. Parak Beis Halacha Dalet. Okay, I just want to see something. We'll just go to Halacha Dalet. We could learn all of the previous two halachas in the parak as well, but we won't. This halacha specifically, which is a very famous teaching of the Rambam, relates to this idea that we just quoted from the Shemi Shmuel, that even if one feels they cannot repair a broken vessel, they can always make a new vessel. So you can't salvage that vase, but you can always buy or go to the pottery store and you can make a new vessel. Here we're talking about making a new person, not a new vase, specifically in regard to the sins of Shmir Salashon, or the transgression of Shmir Salashon. So the Rambam writes, Midarchei HaTeshuvah. Alyssa, you said you could see, right? Because I could see Alyssa. Okay. Midarchei HaTeshuvah. What is the way of repentance? Lios HaShav Tzoeik Tamid Lifnei Hashem. First of all, this is the leg of Teshuvah, Tefillah. Lios HaShav, the repentance. See, there's the word, Shin Beis. Something that Mamish never considered. It's very interesting that Shvarim, a pasuk that we quoted from Mishlei, V'selef Bashever Beruach, the diminishment of Lashon Hara can be achieved through a broken spirit. Shever is the root of Shvarim, the broken blast showing the Ribbono Shel Olam that we stand before him broken in sin. The root word, if you will, of Shever, if you want to make it a smaller root, is Shin Beis. So the way of Teshuvah is that the repentant should cry out constantly, Tamid, Lifnei Hashem, before God, Bevichi, with crying, Uvisachanunim, and with supplication. So we always say that, not we always say, in our tefillah of the Yamim Noraim, we speak about Uteshuvah, Utefillah, Utsedakah, Ma'avirin Esrael HaGzeira, repentance, Teshuvah, Tefillah, prayer, Tzedakah, charity, erase the evil decree. And here you have, the Rambam delineates these three pillars. The first thing he says is Tefillah, the repentant should be calling out constantly, consistently, always before God, with crying and supplication, tzedakah. Va'ose tzedakah kifi kocho. And he should give tzedakah according to his ability. Rav Salvechik writes that tzedakah is a ransom. The sinner is in a prison of sorts. He is in the prison of sin. This is brought down in the Machzor Masoros Harav, that the sinner is in prison and the bail or the ransom he has to pay to get out is the tzedakah. So he gives tzedakah according to his ability. He should stay very far away from the sin. So here in this halacha of the Rambam, you have all three aspects. You have tefillah, call out constantly, tzedakah according to your ability, which Rav Salvechik says it serves as a ransom, and finally teshuvah, you should stay far away from the matter that you sin. So if you know that there's a certain person with whom the conversation always leans to leads to forbidden speech or a certain topic that always leads us to speaking Lashon Hara. Listen, it happens. We're human beings. The Gemara says there's no sin that doesn't have a vak Lashon Hara. You need to stay far away from that. Umishane shmo, klomar ani acher. And this is the reason I brought this Rambam to you, because after reading the Shem Mishmul, who says you can't fix a broken vessel, but you can make a new one, this is exactly what it reminded me of. The Rambam writes, he changes his name. What do you mean he changes his name? It means maybe the past personality is beyond repair, but when it comes to the gift of teshuva, you can always remake the person that you are. That's an incredibly powerful gift of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Shem says, I understand, that guy didn't work out, but you can make a new person. Umishana shmo, your new vessel, your new vase. You're not that vase, you're a new vase. You're not that person, you get a new name. New name indicates I'm a different person. Klomar, as if to say, says Rambam, ani acher. I'm a different guy. I bought a different vase. I'm a whole new being. Ve'eini oso ha'ish asa oso namaisim. I'm not that person who did those terrible things. That person was person A. I'm person B. I have a new name. You call me after an aliyah, I'm somebody else. Not me personally, but you understand what I mean. Well, anyway, today you're never sure to get the wrong idea. U'mishane ma'asav, and he changes his deeds. Kulam letova u'ledarach yishara. And a person is able to change his deeds. And now they will all be for the good and for the straight path. So even if a person feels that they are beyond repair, so make yourself new. You can make yourself a new person. And that's what the Shem Mishmul teaches here on this Gemara, that even there's no remedy, you can start over again. You may not be able to repair all the fissures in the old fractured vessel, but you can create a new vessel. Furthermore, Shmiras HaLashon, so the footnote now quotes a Chavetz Chaim Sefer Shmiras HaLashon. There are two fundamental disruptions caused by Lashon Hara. What are the two fundamental disruptions? A, the damage or anguish caused to the person spoken of. So the pain you cause somebody else. And that is a sin bein Adam l'chaveru. The second fundamental fissure caused by Lashon Hara is the debasement of the speaker's own nature into something lowly. So the first aspect of sin is what I did to somebody else, the Chavetz Chaim teaches. The second aspect of the sin is what I did to my own self. The sin between man and God. So there are two aspects of Lashon Hara the Chavetz Chaim teaches in his Shmiras HaLashon. One is Bein Adam Mechaveiro, the pain I brought to the other person. And two is the tarnish or the damage or the brokenness I did to myself, which he identifies as Bein Adam Lemakom. If one damages or pains another person, forgiveness cannot be attained until one appeases the damaged party. So that is something that we know as well. Actually, I stopped screen sharing, but I should continue to screen share with you. Could you see? Alyssa, could you see? Okay. So if one damaged another person, I didn't, sorry, prepare this source before, sure, because I didn't come into my mind until now. But here we go, found it quickly. So Mishnah Yuma tells us, the very last Mishnah in Masachas Yuma tells us, the last thing I just read to you is that if one damages or pains another, forgiveness cannot be attained until you appease the damaged party. And that's something very important for us to know in the month of Elul. There are, Be'ezus Hashem, I couldn't believe it, I said on Shabbos, after this Shabbos, meaning Kiseitzei, there are two Shabbosos, and then it's Rosh Hashanah. Kisavim, Nitzavim, Vayelech, and it's Rosh Hashanah. That's just unbelievable. So as we journey through the final weeks of the year, we have to know that this is fundamentally true. If you damage or pain another person, forgiveness cannot be attained until one appeases the damaged party. And the very last Mishnah, Masechas Yuma, Yuma from Yom Kippur, that deals with the halachos of this triumph period and of the day of Yom Kippur, tells us, Aveiro Shabein, you could see, right? You said you could see? Aveiro, you know why I ask all the time, and we're probably undoing online also, why is Michal Horetz constantly saying, could you see, could you see, could you see? The reason is because in one class a couple of weeks ago, in Shari class, I was teaching something that you really needed to see on the screen in order to understand. There was like a box and Hebrew letters. They had to be read horizontally, vertically in order to get the point. And messages kept coming in on the chat. And I wanted to finish the piece and not interrupt myself. So finally, when I finished the piece, teaching the piece, I went to check the chat. What everyone was actually saying is, we can't see the screen. I said, you can't see the screen. It really needed to be seen. So here we go. The Mishnah tells us, Aveiro Shabein Adam Lamakom Yom HaKippurim Mechaper. sins between man and God, Yom HaKippurim is mechaper. If a person undergoes the process of teshuva, which is a whole shir in and of itself, Yom Kippur is mechaper. Why? Because Yom Kippur itself is a day of kapara. The day itself is the power of atonement. Yitzumo shel Yom Mechaper. The day brings atonement, it brings cleansing. Just like Shabbos brings Shavisa to the world, Yom Kippur brings Kapara to the world. So if you sin between man and God, and you really show Hashem you want to change, Yom Kippur is Mechaper. You made yourself a new vessel. Mishana Shmo, Komar, Ein Ani Acher, Ve'eni Oso Ha'ish, Oso Masim. I'm a different person. I'm not that person. Aveir Shabein Adam L'Chaveiro, look carefully at the Mishnah. Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper Ad SheYiratza Es Chaveiro. Sins between man and fellow man, which the Chafetz Chaim identifies as one of the fundamental of two sins of Lashon Hara. Sins between man and fellow man, Yom HaKippurim is not Mechaper until one appeases his friend. So it's something important to keep in mind before we sin. Because who wants to have to go asking everybody that we spoke negatively about or insinuating negatively about? You're going to see in the Gemara, it's not going to be today, maybe next time or in two times, that you're not even allowed to say, the Gemara tells us on the same Amud, so-and-so has the fire always going in their house, indicating that they like to eat a lot or they could afford the fire and somebody else can't afford a fire. The fire is always going. They're always cooking. Even that could be interpreted as Lashon Hara being said in a negative sense. You could all go look it up in Maseches Erechin and we'll discuss it in depth when we get there. But that statement, if that is considered Lashon Hara, what about all the negative things I really say about my friend? And Yom Kippur is not Mechab for those sins, Ad SheYiratza Es Chaveiro, going back. So if one damages or pains another person, the Chafetz Chaim teaches in Sefer Chafetz Chaim, forgiveness cannot be attained until you appease the damaged party. However, in regard to the second element, which is the debasement of one's own character, which the Chafetz Chaim identifies as Bein Adam Lamakom, Rabbi Chama maintains you can elevate yourself and re-sanctify your speech by studying Torah. So if one engages in the study of Torah, it can change him into a new person. Remember we spoke last time about the difference between Chachma and Torah. Torah changes you. You can remake yourself. And then Avam Lamakom, it's a pater prayer. However, caveat. Rav Acha contends this applies only after you rectify Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. So clearly, the path to Bein Adam L'Makom is rectification Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And if we could only, I'm not talking to you. I'm really not talking to you. If I could only keep that in mind before negative speech, then I wouldn't have the quandary of what to do after I spoke negatively. So that was on the pasuk from Mishlei, as the Gemara expands, v'selof bashavar beruach. The diminishment of sins of speech is having a broken spirit. We related it to shavar, being shvarim, an even smaller root of shvarim is shin beis, which is teshuva. We went to look at the Rambam, Hilchos Teshuva, and understood that you can talk or remake yourself. Continuing with the Gemara, Tani Devei Rabbi Yishmael, a braisa was taught in the academy of Rabbi Yishmael. Kol ha-misaper lashon hara, listen. Kol ha-misaper lashon hara, magdil avonos keneged shalosh aveiros. Whoever is a misaper lashon hara, a speaker of lashon hara, magdil avonos, his sin is so great, like gadol, keneged shalosh aveiros. So when we refer to shalosh aveiros, what immediately comes to mind, or what should come to mind, what are we talking about? The three cardinal sins, which a Jew must give up his life rather than transgress, which are avodah zara, idolatry, gilui arayos, uncovering nakedness, literally, sins of immorality, and shvichus dam, and bloodshed. So the Gemara says here, it was taught in the academy of Rabbi Yishmael, anyone who speaks Lashon Hara, his sins are equal, proliferate. It's translated by art school. He proliferates iniquities equivalent to the three cardinal sins. It says the Gemara, these three cardinal sins are Avodas Kochavim, also known as Avodas Zara, Gilui Arayos, illicit relations, Ushvichus Damim, murder. Okay, footnote. The Rivash maintains that this is a hyperbolic statement, an exaggerated statement, intended to dramatize the seriousness of speaking Lashon Hara. No one suggests, says the Rivash, that one is obligated to sacrifice his life rather than transgress the prohibition of Lashon Hara, like he is required, yehareg va'alya avar. He must allow himself to be killed, or he should never be tested. I should never be tested. I'm not on such a madriga. I don't know chas v'shem what I would choose. Yehareg v'al yavar, for idolatry, illicit relations, immorality, and bloodshed. So a Jew is required to give up his life. So does that mean if one is told to speak Lashon Hara, they will be killed? They're required to speak Lashon Hara. So Levash says, no one suggests that one is obligated to give up his life rather than transgress Lashon Hara, which is the law for the three cardinal sins. Rabbeinu Yonah agrees with this point. He explains that the Gemara's meaning is that Lashon Hara is as grave as these three cardinal sins in certain aspects. So what are these certain aspects? A. A habitual speaker of Lashon Hara, the Baal Lashon Hara, someone who spends their days using their tongue for negative, repeats his sin 10 times a day, embarrasses people, busha, assassinates characters, stabs people in the backs, and chatters to no purpose endlessly. Shlomi Badibri, her son was the Mekalal. Her sin was she was too much of a chatterbox. Chatter, 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 chatter. Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem. She would always say to everybody, how are you, how are you, who are you? She talked too much. She ended up being intimate with an Egyptian. Her son was the Mekalal, who used his speech to blaspheme, if it were possible. You say Birkas Hashem, which is a metaphor for Chas V'Shalom, cursing the Ribbono Shel Olam. So someone who chatters to no purpose endlessly, Kol Yamai Gadalti Bein Chachamim V'lo Metzatim B'Guf Tov Mishtika. The lightest sin therefore becomes a graves matter when it is performed many times, and all the more so if the sin is great and perverse to begin with. So it's one thing one time, but if a person habitually becomes in the context of constantly using his mouth for forbidden speech, so he becomes so accustomed to it that he doesn't realize the gravity of the sin. You know, you do something once, you feel bad. You do something twice, you feel a little less bad. You do something three times, it's already nasa keheter. It's allowed. This is what the Torah wants to be. The Gemara means that Lashon Hara spoken often and without restraint is tantamount to the cardinal sins performed infrequently. So if someone is always, unfortunately, engaging in curse words, leitzanus, mockery, some people are always making jokes at other people's expense. Rapam Zatzal, Avram Pam Zatzal, the Gedolim of our time, was, it says in the biography, if you read a beautiful biography of Pam, that he felt very strongly about people who tease children. That this is a grave sin. You can't tease children. Sometimes people make jokes. Leitzanus, it's one of the things we daven for in the Tfilat HaDibur, that a joke at someone else's expense is not a joke. Actually, I'm going to call Rabbi Bender's Friday Shmooze to the Masifta boys. My son just started. Hashem, we're davening. We all have to daven. That the adult should be responsible, and that the children's yeshivos and day schools for the girls should please, Ribbono Shel Olam, stay open, because the children need the chinuch in the yeshiva so badly. So Rabbi Bender, they had their first shmooze this past Erev Shabbos, so he said it was very good. He was telling some of us it over. Rabbi Bender Shlita was speaking about its elul, the power of treating every single person with kindness and with using the proper words. Rabbi Bender told the boys a story that a man came over to him. He said the man was in his 70s for sure, 70, 75 years old. And the man told him when he was a child in elementary school, the rabbi was telling Erev Pesach about cleaning out chametz. The chametz equals the Yetzer Hara, chametz equals sin. You have to clean it out. And the rabbi pointed to this boy, who is now 70 plus year old man, and said, we have chametz in our classroom we need to clean out. And the boy told Rabbi Bender, I don't know if Rabbi Bender was speaking about chinuch or this topic, this man, who is now over 70, came over to Rabbi Bender. He says he never forgot what the rabbi said to him. He was a young child, and the rabbi pointed to him and said, we have chametz in our classroom. Rabbi Bender said the boy never forgot it. I know someone also of advanced age, they should live and be well. They made fun of this person in camp for their hairstyle. And this person remembers it to this day. I'm talking about someone who is a senior. And to this day, they remember the pain of being called a name for their hairstyle. So Rabbi Bender was speaking about how careful we have to be about every person, every life. He was actually relating it to COVID and how careful we have to be with making sure we don't spread germs, etc. But it's such a powerful lesson. It's such a powerful reminder So here, the Gemara means Lashon Hara spoken often and without restraint is tantamount to the cardinal sins performed infrequently. Furthermore, repentance is very difficult for the Baal Lashon Hara because speaking evil has become second nature to him, and so he is not really in control anymore of what he says. Repentance is also difficult because he does not really realize the gravity of what he has done, nor the harm he has caused. You can rest assured that that Rabbi probably doesn't even remember. If the man is 70 or 75, that Rebbe is probably in the Olam HaMS. And that's a terrifying thought. This is what Rabbi Bender Shlita told the boys, and we should take it as a Musar Hasker for ourselves. I don't even know the things that I said that caused someone harm. The repentance is difficult. And note how so much of what we're talking about today deals with repentance. This happens to be Hashem arranged that where we're up to, this piece of the Gemara with these footnotes is talking about Teshuvah, Shever, broken, shvarim, shav, making yourself anew, nishana shmo. Repentance becomes difficult because you don't realize the gravity of what you have done or the harm you have caused. So how could you do teshuva if you don't think you did anything wrong, if you don't even remember? Hashem is the zocher kol hanishkachos. Hashem remembers all that is forgotten. The problem is, how can I repent for something that I forgot? You know the famous mashal, but there was a child who was always speaking lashon hara. So the rabbi told him, it's in the old town, in the Altaheim, the rabbi told him, take a down pillow, and I want you to go shake the pillow out over town, and come back to me. So the child went, he shook the pillow out over town, the feathers flew all over with the wind. And the rabbi said, okay, very good. At 9 o'clock at night, I want you to go and collect all those feathers, put them back in the pillow, and bring the pillow back to me. So the whole day passed. At the end of the day, the child tries to find the feathers. How could he possibly collect the feathers that he scattered 14 hours ago? He finds one, he finds two, he can't fill the whole pillow. Feathers are gone. So he comes to the rabbi and he says, I don't understand. What does the rabbi want from me? I can't get the feathers. They're all over the place. The wind has taken them. The rabbi said, that's Lashon Hara. The wind carries it all over and you can't get it back. And that's what it reminded me here when I read Nekuda C. Teshuva becomes difficult because he doesn't realize the gravity of what he has done nor the harm he has caused. D, it will also be difficult to seek forgiveness from all those he has spoken about, because there are so many he will have forgotten, and because those he remembers he is embarrassed to approach. So going back to the mashal with the feathers, or there was a child, my mother has told me, that in elementary school, I think it was in the Talmud Torah, like so many post generation Holocaust children, my mother, both of my parents, Sheyichu, were born to survivors. They went to public school and then Talmud Torah. And there was a boy named Eliyahu. I assume that he had an English name, and in Talmud Torah, they perhaps went by their Jewish names. And when he used to come in, the children didn't like him. They used to sing the song Eliyahu HaNavi. We sing Eliyahu HaTishpi. They used to sing Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTipshi, Tipesh, Fugash. Person. And these are things that sometimes we do that we don't realize what we're doing. We're killing somebody. And that's what the Gemara says here. We're murdering people. It should be noted that where Lashon Hara entails embarrassing a person in public, so this is an even greater degree, when it entails busha, uchlima, befarhasya, some Rishoni maintain he would, yes, be obligated to sacrifice his life rather than transgress. So, of course, that reminded me of the famous Maisa in Bereishis 38, which just I did prepare for you. Bereishis Paraklav, could you see my screen? Whew. Bereishis 38, okay? I don't trust myself anymore without asking if you could see the screen. Bereishis Lamed Ches is a story of Yehuda and Tamar. We all know the basic story. Tamar was given to the first son. The second son, Er, Onan, both died. Yehuda's not giving her to Shelah. Maybe she'll die. Like my other sons died. Go sit in your father's house and you're gone into mourning. Shelah grows up. She's not given to Shelah for Yibum. Yehuda comes up to shear the sheep after his wife dies. Tamar sits at the crossroads. She seduces. She dresses as a Kadesha, a Zona, and she seduces Yehuda. And after 3 months, they say to Yehuda, you're not going to believe it, but your daughter, now Tamar, who's supposed to be sitting in her father's house wearing her big day amunasa, her clothing of widowhood, while she waits for Shelah, she's pregnant. Harel is nudim, she's pregnant by prostitution. She has to be burned, says Yehuda, because she's the daughter of a Kohen. And a daughter of Kohen who engages in Znus is Chayav Misa by Sreifa. Her father was Malki Tzedek, who was Shev, who Kohen Le'el Elyon. Fine. I mean, not fine, but That's Avraga Achas. Parak Chav Lamed Chas Pasuk Chav Hei. He mutseis, she's being taken out for execution. V'hishalcha al chambiya, and she sends a secret message to her father-in-law. They more saying, La'ish asher eila lo, to the man to whom these collateral items belong, the signet, the staff, and the cape, anochi hara. Whoever owns these collateral items that were left with me as a payment for relations, that is by whom I am pregnant. Vatoma, and she said, Hakerna, recognize please, this is the message she sends to Yehuda, Lemi hachosemes, vahapasilim, vahamata ela, whose seal are these signet, and whose staff, and whose cord are these? So Rashi says, look over here on the side of the screen, he mutzei, she's being taken out, he's sarev to be burned. V'hishalcha al-chammiya, and she sends a message to Yehuda. Lo ritzasa lahal bimpanav, she does not want to embarrass his face. V'lomar, and to say, mimcha ani mubers, you're killing me, you may be pregnant. She does not want to do that. Ela, she says quietly, excuse me, so as not to embarrass him in public. Le'isha shar elalo, the man to whom these items belong, Amra im yoda yoda me'atzmo ve'im lav yisrufuni. And she said, if he wants to admit, by the way, yoda, Yehuda, that's not an axiom. Yehuda has two meanings, one is to give thanks and one is to be moda, to admit. If he wants to admit on his own, he will confess. And if he doesn't want to, so okay, burn me. Va'al al bim panav. Look at this tzadekas. I will not embarrass his face. Mikan Amru, from here they say, from here we learn, Noach lo la'adam, it is better, preferable for a person, Shayash piluhu lekivshan ha'esh, v'al yalbin p'rei chaveru b'rabim. That's what we just learned in the footnote right here. We just learned that it is better, preferable, for a man to be thrown into the fiery furnace and he should not embarrass his friend in public. So these examples that I gave you are by Bender Shmuz to the boys about the rabbi who said we have chametz in our classroom, or the person who I know who so many decades later still remembers the comments about their hair, or the boy who unfortunately did not grow up to lead a normal life, who was branded, they sang it with the two, Eliyahu Navi, Eliyahu Tipshi. These things were done in public. A person is actually chayav. It's terrifying because I'm not talking about other people. I'm using it as a lesson for what I have done to embarrass people in public. It's very scary. And how can you get back the feathers? Part of the difficulty, repentance is difficult because he does not realize the gravity of what he has done, nor the harm he has caused. So we're going back up to the Gemara now. We left the art scroll footnote, which we just added some of our own insights, the mashal with the feathers. Some personal examples, Rabbi Bender Shmuz, Parak Lamed Chas of Bereshis. Let's go. So the Gemara has told us that it was taught in the Academy of Rabbi Yishmael. Anyone who speaks Lashon Hara, Magdil Avonos Keneged Shalosh Averus. And we have looked at the footnote to understand what this means. Proliferates iniquity equivalent to the three Yehareg Va'al Yavor. And they are Avodas Kochavim, V'gilu Arayis Ushvichus Damim. How do we know? Because, you know what, I'm actually going to show you the psukim that prove it. I think that will be helpful. So the Gemara is going to show you, how do you know? You know because of psukim that connect, just give me a minute to find them with you, less than a minute. Okay. So the Gemara has said, magdil, keyword, magdil avonos ad l'shamayim, a mesaper lashon har, a ba lashon har, magdil, from the word gadol, avonos, his iniquity, ad l'shamayim. The Gemara is now going to bring you proof of four psukim from Tanakh, where the word gimel dalet vav lamed, gadol, is connected to the sin of lashon har, the sin of avodas kochavim, the sin of shvichus damim, and the sin of gilui arayos, the fact that each of these sins is described as in the term gadol through Tanakh, allows the Gemara to teach us that these sins are connected. So the first pasuk as quoted by the Gemara as follows is, it says, here, about the pasuk, could you see? Okay, thank you. Yachris Hashem, the first pasuk is from Tehillim, Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Dalet, chapter 12, Verse 4. Yachris Hashem kol sifsei chalakos. Hashem will cut down from the word karis. This is what the Gemara is speaking about here. All those who have smooth tongue, referring to the sin of Lashon Hara. Lashon midaberes all. What word do we have here? What root? Gimel Dalet. Lamed, gadol, great. Lashon midaberes gadolus, a tongue that speaks gadol. How's that translated that by art school? A tongue that speaks grievous things. So remember, the Gemara is proving to us, and it was taught in the academy of Rabbi Yishmael, that the sin of Lashon Hara is equal to the three Yehareg v'al yavars. How do we know that? The Gemara says, because one who speaks Lashon Hara is magdil, Gadol, Avonos Adashamayim. His sin is so great, so big, it reaches the heaven. Because the Pasuk says, in Tehillim, Yud Beis Dalet, Lashon Medaberes, keyword, Gidolos. Okay? Next Pasuk. And says the Gemara, Ukisiv Avodos Kochavim. It says, in regard to idol worship, a Pasuk from Kitisa, Shemos 32, which is the sin of the golden calf. So the Gemara now proves that by Lashon Hara, by Avodas Kochavim, idol worship, it uses the same word, Gimel, same root, Gimel Dalet Lamed, to prove that Avodas Kochavim is equal to the greatness, the Gadola, of the sin of Lashon Hara. Look at the Pasuk here. This is Kitisa, and the aftermath of the sin of the golden calf. Perek Lamed Beis of Shemos, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayashav Moshe El Hashem. Moshe returned to God. Vayomer, and he said, Ana chata hamaza chata gidola. Ah, what did Moshe say? Please, Hashem, this nation has sinned a sin that is very gadol. The Gemara is teaching us that Mamisapra Lashon Hara is gadol avonos ad Hashemayim. Because we saw the pasuk from Tehillim 12:4 that the sin of Lashon Hara is gadol, and now the Gemara shows you that in regard to avodos kochavim, idol worship, the sin is also gadol, like the pasuk says. Moshe says to Hashem, "Oh, the people have sinned a great sin, and they made for themselves a god of kaviyachal, as if it were possible of gold." So this is the pasuk that the Gemara brings to prove that avodos kochavim, idol worship, is gadol. Just like Lashon Hara is a great sin. Begilu Arayos Kisiv. In regard to Gilu Arayos, a pasuk from Bereishis, not Shemos. Bereishis Lamites. Bereishis Lamites is the story or the maisa of Yosef and Eshes Potiphar. And Yosef says to Eshes Potiphar, how can I do this very great sin? Which sin? The sin of being intimate with you, which is the sin of Gilu Arayos. Yosef says to Eshes Potiphar, Lamed tes. Einenu gadol abayis hazeh mimeni. There's no one greater than me in this house. V'lo chasach mimeni mi'uma. And the master, Potiphar, has not held back anything from you, from me. Yosef says, I'm in charge of everything. The only thing he held back from me is you, because you are his wife. V'eich a'esa, how can I do? Hara'a ha'gidola hazos v'chatasi l'alokim. How could I do this very bad, wicked thing? And I will have sinned to God. What are we talking about here? Gilu Arayos. So we have already seen three psukim. Tehillim 12:4. That teaches us that the sin of speech is very gadol. And then we went to Perek Lamed Beis. Now we, the Gemara, I'm just showing you the psukim on the screen, where Moshe says to Hashem, Ana chata mazeh chata gadola, in regard to Avodah Zarah. They made for themselves Elohei Zahav. And now we went to Bereishis Lamites, and we see that the sin of Gilu Arayos and covering nakedness is also referred to as a great sin. And finally, what about Shvichus Damim? So the Gemara is quoting from a pasuk in Bereishis, Perek Dalet, pasuk, Yod Gimel. Perek Dalet in Bereishis is the sin of Cain murdering Havel. There's a conversation that ensues between Cain and Hashem. But Cain says to Hashem, Gadol Avoni Minsoa, is my sin too great to bear? What sin? What did he just do? It's the first murder in the world. It's the first Shvichus Damim in the world. How does he describe the sin with the word? Gadol. So this is how the Gemara proves to us, Kol HaMisapri Lashon Hara, Magdil Avonos Ad L'Shamayim. Keyword, Magdil, Gadol. His sin is so great, the sin of Lashon Hara, it is equal to the three Yehareg V'al Yavars. How do you know? Because in Tehillim 12:4, Lashon Hara is referred to as a sin that is gadol. And then in regard to Avodah Zarah, Shemos Kitisa Lamed Beis, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Yeah, Lamed Beis on Med Aleph, Moshe refers to the sin of Avodah Zarah as Gadol. And then in regard to Yosef and Eishes Potiphar, Perek Lamed Tes, he says, how could I do this? Ech Esa Hara'aha Gadola Hazos, V'chatasi Delokim, regard to Gilead Rice. And finally, Shvichus Damim, as we see by Kain in Perek Dalet, is also a sin that is Gadol. So the Gemara has proved to us unequivocally that this transgression of Lashon Hara is as grievous as the three cardinal sins. And it's something that I have to ask myself. And yes, we explained that it's not literal and nobody thinks you have to give up your life. However, the fact that the Gemara could even tell us this, I was just listening, Rabbi Zev Lef mentioned in a shir last week many things, but one nekuda wasn't even a, well, I guess it's a Rabbi, but he said, Chazal are so careful with their words. We always talk about how in Chumash, in Tanakh, especially in Chumash, there's not one extra word. Everything that is absolutely necessary to be said is said. Every word, every letter should be expanded upon. When it comes to Chumash, there's no such thing as a wasted word or a wasted letter. Rabbi Lef was just saying in a shir that I heard last week that there's no wasted words in Chazal. They were very careful in calculating exactly the words that they used to bring us a lesson. So if they teach that Lashon Hara is Gadol and the three cardinal sins are Gadol, and we went through the verses together through different places in Tanakh where we see this, that we really have some food for contemplation as we finish this year, before we, at any time we open our mouths. Who wants to be the one who is responsible? Rachman al-San gets up to Shemaim and they show you the image of you being the Rebbe. And you saying to the child, we have chametz in this class. And you say, I don't know what you're talking about. And they're going to say in Shemaim, you may not know. But that child never forgot. And the one who called someone in camp, what they called that person was cauliflower top because of the hairstyle. And decades later, that person remembers. And who wants to be the one who said, Eliyahu HaTipshi? That person never had a normal life. And we're going to go up to Shemayim. Gadol Avonos Ad Shemayim. They're going to play this back. I'm going to say, I don't even know what you're talking about. That's exactly right. I may not know, but I should have contemplated before I said it what I'm referring to, what they're going to be referring to. We saw Abba Mishnah and Yuma together. It's very nice that Yom Kippurim is the day of Kapara. Itumo shel Yom Mechaper, the day itself atones. But Bein Adam Mechaveru, it's not very pasha. Try and get back all the feathers. I've got to get back all the feathers. And today, with devices and social networking, it's even worse. Because messages travel literally in the blink of an eye. What is posted in one chat finds its way around the world. If I'm not mistaken, we have somebody from South Africa joining us on this shir. Messages literally with text, this is for, I hope, a good purpose. But messages travel, I welcome her and I welcome all of you. Messages travel around the world in the blink of an eye. As I'm talking, the person in South Africa is learning with us. Our minds can't even grasp what that means. How is that even possible? Think about what I'm saying. Think about what I'm saying. It would take years to get to South Africa in the olden days to tell them what someone's saying in New York. And today, as I'm saying it, you're hearing it. It's mind-boggling. So what does that mean for the things that I post online or write on social networking? It's even worse than the feathers on the pillows. It doesn't even take the time of the wind to get across the world. Alyssa, Baruch Hashem, I didn't forget. With that, let us quote from Chafetz Chaim, a lesson a day. Okay, a couple of halachos before we end in our last few minutes of shir. Negative opinions. As rechilus includes any statement that might cause ill feelings between Jews, rechilus includes any statement that causes ill feeling between Jews. You tell this one what that one said. It is forbidden to inform a manufacturer or distributor, this is interesting, that a certain individual dislikes his product. This is true even if the product is generally unpopular. I think that's interesting. You know why I think that's interesting? Because Wouldn't the manufacturer distributor want constructive criticism that they could improve their product? If nobody likes the product, and then how are they ever going to improve it? I don't know. Maybe it depends on how you say it, how close you are to the person. Similarly, one may not tell a speaker, oh, this is funny. Ready? This is for you, about me. Similarly, one may not tell a speaker a certain person or persons did not enjoy his lecture. I'm mamish reading this. If you have this sefer, Chafetz Chaim, a lesson a day, okay? I'm on page 290. You cannot tell me that other people did not enjoy my lecture, and nor may one tell a why. Not because Musar is not the best form of love, and not because we don't want tochacha, but because it has to be said a certain way, or maybe without naming names. Constructive criticism is always helpful and wanted, but it will cause ill will specifically between two Jews. That's what we're trying to avoid here. That's exactly what it says. That was the first statement that I read. Rechilas includes a statement that might cause ill feelings between Jews. So you may not tell a speaker, certain person or persons did not enjoy his lecture, nor may one tell a writer or artist that certain people do not appreciate his work. Oh, parentheses, unless this is absolutely necessary for constructive purpose. Okay, but maybe it could still be said without naming names. And in that case, it can accomplish its purpose in a kind way, not by the Tzanis, who quoted Rav Avraham Pamzatzal, who was held very strongly that it was a grave error, even to children. However, maybe it could bring about repair in a productive way. It is reasonable to assume that people dislike those who speak badly of their friends or relatives. Last halacha. Therefore, to tell an individual someone has spoken negatively of his friend or relative is to speak rechilas. I could hear that. You don't want to be told that someone hates your mother or your father or your sibling or your spouse or your child or your brother or your sister. An important application of this law is in the case of children. We have learned one may speak of a child's mischievous behavior if neither the speaker nor the listener will think any less of the child. Since the Torah deems children culpable for their actions only in a limited sense, their misbehavior is shameful only if people view it as shameful. Nevertheless, it is common for a parent or grandparent to feel ill will, this is for sure true, towards someone who tells others of his child's or grandchild's misbehavior. If you need to tell me, the teacher needs to call me because there's something to deal with. So as a mechanech and a parent, I understand that. And a normal parent should be able to accept that if it's a normal teacher, not someone who says we have chametz in this class. But to go tell other people about my child's misbehavior in class? Therefore, to inform a parent or grandparent that someone who's speaking about their child's misbehavior is to speak rechilas. These halachos are very complicated. I always say I don't teach halachos, so I'm just quoting from the sefer. And I must reiterate that if someone has a practical shayla, you must seek Da'as Torah. So I thank everyone for joining us, whether you're from South Africa or more local. Be'ezros Hashem, that shever, that shvarim, that brokenness should help us come closer to the Ribono Shel Olam as we approach the Yemei Hadin. This shir is dedicated as a zchus aliyah neshama for Tzvi Gershon, Ben Yoel v'Chana, Alav Hashem. The neshama should have a continuous aliyah. We thank Alyssa Axelrod and her family, and I thank everyone for joining. And you should have a day of besuras tovos. We should all merit the siyata d'shmaya to walk the path and talk the talk. Our neshamas really want to walk and really want to talk. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great day. Thank you. Thank you.